Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 18, Chicago, Episode 5 Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
And I know we said we'd be here Wednesday, and life happens, and here we are on Sunday, so happy live Sunday, all, like VN says.
My fault. Birthday week. Mm-hmm. I was on vacation. I had a bunch of other things that I did, so I will totally own that it was my fault. Care to share the things that I just had some other things that I was doing this week, but it was a great birthday week. Mm-hmm. Great time.
I was going to ask, how was the birthday week? We saw the seafood broad. Anybody following you on social at Just Terrell saw that. And my wife was like, where's the seasoning?
Yeah, the seasoning's on the inside. If you go to the seafood boil and you see all the seasoning on the outside, their boil's terrible.
That's all. I said, baby, did you read the caption? It says the flavor was great. And Terrell is a very specific cook, so... Yeah, I'm zooming in. I don't see any black spots. I don't see.
Because I did it right. The flavor is inside the seafood the way it's supposed to be. Hey. It was delicious. Had some great times with some friends. Yeah.
Now you know what I go through.
Yeah. That's all right. Anyone who wants to question my seafood boil, show me how it's done. Show me a better one.
Okay, babe says when you're watching this Monday morning, Terrell has just challenged you to a seafood boil off.
Challenge!
Come down to Houston. We'll do it there.
Yeah.
So look, here's the thing about it, man. 5 episodes in, and there's a lot to cover in this one. I mean, just by what we're seeing in this whole, how do we put this? In this episode alone, there's a lot to uncover and a lot of questions I think... were answered, right? And we'll get to those in just a few. But first, let's go ahead and kick this off, man. So Carla and Juan, let's start off with these two. And you can tell it's been a minute since we've been here. I can't even find them. The money convo comes up over breakfast.
Yeah.
And how did you feel about this? I thought it went better than I expected the money convo to go with these two. At least this initial one.
I did too. I thought it went better. He was just being honest to say, hey, I have a whole lot of things that I have going on. Mm-hmm. I can't easily just travel and do all that. I have a staff. I have teams of people. I got investors and all that stuff. So I think the conversation was good. Carla said that she's responsible with her obligations, but she does like to splurge on food and all that. But what I don't get is why does Carla, everybody's not an entrepreneur. And I get it. By definition, you started your own business. I get it. But everyone thinks that they're Bill Gates when they say that I'm an entrepreneur and I'm starting something big. It's like, no, you're not. Carla, okay. You're not.
Well, okay. They didn't start off with a crap load of money.
Who?
Bill Gates didn't start off with a crap load of money. Plus, you see all these signs. I literally saw one this weekend that said 97% of the people who quit work for the 3% who didn't give up. Now, if you do the math, that's absolutely wrong. But it's a great saying. It's a great damn saying.
It's a great saying. But I just think that I really think that in today's society, we use the word entrepreneur very loosely. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people use it. Yes, everybody's an entrepreneur. I have this. If I set up a snow cone stand, I'm an entrepreneur. I can tell people that. I just think we use that phrase very loosely. I just think we use the word loosely. I don't think her entrepreneurship and Juan's, I don't think they're equal. But she still wants a guy to take care of her at the end of the day.
Well, if this app takes off, he would be able to, and she'd be happy. Matter of fact, she is still very happy in this moment, right? Because, of course, money's just energy, and she's got lots of energy, so she's not worried about it, right? And the energy that these two share is amazing, so therefore, they're all good. They go canoeing. And when they first got in, I thought Carla was about to tip that boat over, because I'm like, oh, wait a minute, what the? Because she, okay, as slim and as light as this woman is, her balance is way off. Am I wrong here?
Well, her balance is off, but you saw when the canoe tipped over, she's like a little spider monkey and jumped out and didn't get wet. Juan fell in, everyone else is worried. She's just standing there dry.
I was confused because the producer was like, wait a minute, did you fall in? She's like, well, you know.
Yeah, no, she jumped out.
I kind of floated.
I was like, her energy lifted her and saved her from the water.
I was looking like, I thought she fell in. Her hair looks still dry. Her clothes look dry. All right, whatever. Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but it did. And, you know, Carla's got to let us in on the secret because whatever it was, whoo, dang. Next up, Camille and Thomas. They go kayaking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, did you notice Camille took the lead? And what did that say to you first?
Well, it told me that I don't think Thomas understands what tandem kayaking it's supposed to be like, because you're supposed to be in sync with each other. If you're doing it opposite, it's going to create a problem. And that's how a lot of relationships break up or start fights in tandem kayak. At the place I go kayaking here in Austin, they tell you that if you do a tandem, like, hey, how long y'all been together? Are you sure you want to do this?
Like, this is our first date. No.
Yeah. No. And I've tandem kayaked with somebody that was not on the same page. I'm like, this date is so over when we get back to land. Done.
How long was that kayak ride? Not long, because I just kept going one way.
Yeah. Longest hour of my life. Longest hour of my life.
Well, we come to find out that, okay, Camille takes the lead in the kayak, right? But then Thomas is, as they're talking about traditional roles, he is not all about those traditional roles, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I notice this. A lot of women say this a lot, especially women who make decisions at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Camille says she makes decisions in her professional life. Yeah. So she doesn't want to have to make those in her personal life. And women say that all the time until the decision is made that they don't want to make.
Okay, I thought that same thing, and then I had to rewind it and play it back. Uh-huh. What she said is, in her day job, she makes a lot of decisions, but she doesn't want to be responsible for all the recreational decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
And so if it's like, where we're going to go to eat, maybe she just wants a guy to say, hey, babe, we're going to go here, mm-hmm. be ready at 7 o'clock.
Right.
Instead of going, babe, where do you want to eat? What do you feel like to eat? What movie you want to see?
That's always the wrong question to ask, going, what do you want to eat? Because the answer is always, I don't know, whatever you like. Well, how about this? No. How about this? No. How about this? No.
Well, yeah, I think she just doesn't want to have to like make all the decisions, but she's looking for Thomas to be the leader
mm-hmm.
and to take charge. Now, it just depends on what decisions he makes. If it goes with what, hopefully, ladies, you tell me in the chat, I think when women say they want a man that's going to be the leader, make the decisions, they still want the partnership. But they don't want a dictator mm-hmm. dude.
Yep.
And like the big decisions y'all are going to talk through, but the recreational decisions that she was talking about, I think makes sense. Yeah, dude, just pick. Make the call.
Sapphire says it. Says Camille just wants Thomas to take the initiative. That's all. And you know what? That is so true, because you can't be, and I think we've seen this, and we're going to see this in this episode with Alan as well, his indecisiveness. I don't know. Remember, you said you didn't like the fact that he said, I don't know whether I should touch you or not. Like, and she's like, no, just do it, right? And this is kind of what Camille is kind of like. Look, trust me, you'll know if I don't. You know, hey! I said, keep your hands to your damn self. Okay, my bad. They go to dinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like this. But again, it seems like, and maybe this is just editing, as you like to point out, but it seems like Camille again takes the lead, right? When she wants to hear more about Thomas's upbringing. And we get to find out more and answer some of those questions you had initially about Thomas and his brother.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a very interesting story that he found out via a Facebook post.
I know.
That he was adopted at
when he was in
30.
His 30s.
Yeah, in his 30s, he finds that out. And, you know, his dad said that he wanted to tell him when he was 18, but the dad was scared that y'all
wouldn't love
me.
But the mama said no, and that's why Thomas doesn't take the initiative now.
You know, but I just thought that was wild. And and crazy, but I'm glad that it still worked out for their family and worked out for them. And unfortunately, his dad got sick after that.
Yeah.
But then did you notice the same about Camille's parents? Because they were separated when she was 10 and then finally divorced. I think she said she was like 16, but she's always had to be this kind of calm person for her siblings because there's always drama. And so when Thomas talks about that calm nature she has, that's where that comes from.
Now, a couple things in here in this, because Elsa said Thomas is more passionate about closet organizing, as we've seen. Happy Gardner says this is still my favorite couple. And High Vibe says, I feel Thomas's sadness and fear of rejection. Do you get that from him?
I know where High Vibe's going with that. I don't know if I get that from him, that he has a fear of being rejected by Camille, but he doesn't seem as confident, right? And you think about human nature. When you can't control something, it makes you nervous. So his OCD, that he can control his closet, he can control all those things all the time. That's easy for him. But you can't control relationships, and you can't control how someone treats you or feels about you. So maybe that's where some of that is coming from.
Elson says, Thomas looks like he's not the type to make the decisions. He is when it comes to his closet, as you just pointed out. By the way, Connie Poodle Mom says, I want my hubby to take the lead as long as he leads where I tell him to go. And that's exactly what I was talking about. I said it. She just said it in a different way. Same sentiment, different words. By the way, VN says, Thomas is coming across as a sad sack, no fun. Do you get that?
I don't think he's a sad sack. No, I don't get that. I think he's still trying to figure it out. I think it's just the frowny face is why we just judge him like that.
It's so funny you should say that. You must have seen what I just read, because she likes the tweet says, can you imagine Thomas on top and just frowning the whole time? I love the live crew, you guys. Dear God Almighty.
Oh, goodness.
You're the reason we can't have any guests on here. No, yeah. Hey, do us a favor. Whether you're live crew or replay gang, please hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. Damn it, man. Damn you, she likes to tweet. I'm mad that you brought that up now. Yeah. All right, moving on. M.M. and Ike. I promised I was going to change his name to Ike after she called him Ike. I'm like, oh, Ike it is. We're not going with Ikeche anymore, right? Ikeche. My bad. Sorry. I said, that's exactly why we went with Ike. M.M. said she was a tomboy, didn't date till late in high school. Surprised?
I mean, no. There's a lot of people who are like that. Yeah, a lot of people who are like that. I don't think that's a big deal.
What do you think about Ike's... you know, go to different school every year during high school.
Yeah, that was interesting. That going back and forth between Atlanta and Houston, living with your dad kicks you out at 16. And like, I want to hear more of that story, because your dad kicks you out at 16. You're either bed hopping, couch surfing, whatever. And after a few weeks, then your mom finds out. And then she tells you, no, come on back to Houston. It's weird. So sure, there's more to that story, but I thought that was pretty wild.
So let's see. It's 24 now, right? He's what, 41, 40? How old is Ike?
I think he is 41, I want to say.
All right, so 41. If we go back 20 years to when he was 21, right? I'm just trying to place this here. So that would have been 2004. Even if you go back 7 years for high school, right? That would have put him in what, 1990? Well, yeah, that's about.
Yeah.
Houston was rough back then.
He must have been hanging out with people that went to Texas Southern.
Atlanta was tough back then.
Yes. Well, you know, he goes into the... I have my own issues with Ike, because I feel like a lot of what Ike does is game. It's all this emotional stuff. And so as he's... once the rain comes and MM finally decides to put the pancake in her mouth and get inside because it's raining... Did you see that? He's trying to cover his. She's like, I'm going to get this pancake real quick.
Okay. It's funny you should say that, because ladies, because Terrell is giving him hell for this, right? Did I get extra points for knowing to cover her hair?
Okay. Possibly.
I mean, because let's be honest, if she was with someone else of another persuasion, they wouldn't have known to do that. She's with a brother who knows, hey, I'm going to have to look at this for the rest of this honeymoon.
Okay. So he goes inside to go back to his tearjerker story he's trying to tell her, and he's getting all emotional, like, this is why I do what I do. This is my why. And she's just like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, expecting her to, like, cry for him. I think this is just part of his game.
Right.
That he does. And I like the fact that she's like, hey, look, my family, we're not like that. We don't do all that emotional stuff. So, because it's not going to work on her. So I appreciate that about MM, but I really think that's just Ike's game.
Yo, the thing is, people agree with you on the game. Connie Poodle-Mom says agree. Jasmine says, yes, I agree. Terrell. Chrissy Sunshine says, save the food. facts. But you can always order more. D. Hardaway says, yes, he gets points. D. Michelle says, no, he didn't get any points for that. Tay Who says no. Shante says no, not one. She's the homie. We'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to that. And she likes the tweet, says, why give extra points for expected chivalry? Terrell would have let your ass get wet.
No, I would have grabbed the pancakes and the bacon and be like, come on.
Right, girl.
They left the food outside. I'd have grabbed some stuff, stacked it up.
Kitty says, no, he told it was raining. She didn't care. Leave her to her own. Okay. Man, y'all are tough, man. I mean, MM also reveals that she had a really unemotional upbringing too, right? Which I thought was really tough to hear, that it was right before that her dad passed that he finally told her that he loved her.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine that kind of household. How do you not tell your kids that, and just tell them those three words, I love you? How? My brothers and my sister, all grown. We don't get off the phone without saying I love you. Are you kidding me?
Everybody's not the same, man. It happens.
Jesus. But your own child?
Everybody's not the same. It happens.
I guess. Shout out to Robin. Thank you very much for the super chat. Says thank you for your amazing recaps as always. No, thank you for being a part of it, and thank you for your support. Definitely,
yeah, thank
really
you.
Really appreciate it. Next couple up here. It's really not a couple, so I can't even put a picture up of them because they shouldn't even be a couple. But they come off like a couple, right?
Yet.
That's exactly what I thought, because I put Madison and David, gym buddies. First note, is this the new couple?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I put Madison and David work out together. Mm-hmm. That was interesting, you know, and Madison talks about Alan's, you know, previous relationships being toxic, and David was saying, you know, about his 12-year relationship. I mean, they were just sharing with each other.
That conversation was flawless, effortless, and smooth.
It was. But do you think that Madison's suggestions to David is really what she wished Alan would do?
Yes. And which is exactly why she said that. She wants Alan to do it. So she's like, hey, this is what works. And she's also telling David, let me explain to you, when I kick him out and you get away from that one, this is how you deal with me. Okay?
Yeah.
Because think about this. Madison is that blonde that David likes. More so because she works out. Michelle sleeps in. She works out. Michelle sleeps in. They both got blonde hair. Michelle sleeps in. She talks. Michelle sleeps in. I'm just saying, the man was a bodybuilder. Working out is important to him, okay?
You sound like an old school black mom. All Michelle does is eat, sleep, and shit. She doesn't do anything.
No, eat, sleep, and talk shit. By the way, Connie Poodle-Mom says they ran into each other. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
and Shante, you are so wrong for this. But I know exactly why you said it, because you were looking at her while she's walking on that treadmill, and this made you say, Madison looks like she belongs in the WWE. Stop it. You're wrong. Mm-mm. I've been biting my tongue this whole time. Stop it. You're not going to make me say it. Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think that advice is going to work for Michelle, because what do we know about Michelle?
Yeah.
She shuts down.
Yes.
And so if you try to keep forcing stuff, it's not going to work. Her friends told him that, because I went back and looked at the footage that we missed. Her friends told him that after the wedding reception the next morning. They told him, hey, you got to back off and give her space. So what Michelle is telling him to, or Madison's telling him to do, it's not going to work on Michelle.
However, like Sly A says, it's the first real conversation Davis has had with a white girl with blonde hair in 4 days. They probably made sure he had a brunette as a producer. Just to make sure he didn't try to.
His eyes don't wander.
By the way, VN says, and this is interesting, because she says, Alan deserves so much better. Madison is a creeper. Which brings me right back to the top, right? Because at the very beginning, one of the things that we saw here, Jerry, who says, old lady here, I think Alan is a cutie, sweet disposition and a big heart. He's a great pick. Just not for Madison. And we'll get to that in a little bit. because right after that, we get to see this couple as he gets in from the gym. It's Michelle and David, right? And Michelle is on the phone. Well, first, before he walks in from the gym, Michelle's on the phone with her sister. And she says she doesn't know what her and David's interests and similarities are. But correct me if I'm wrong here, Terrell. Maybe I missed it. I may have blinked. I may have watched the wrong episode like we did last week. She hasn't tried to find out once, since she just keeps harping on his living situation, not asking anything else about. So tell me about the house you live in with your parents upstairs.
She's not asked anything. And I appreciate the fact that she admits that she's being a brat about the situation and falling back into her old ways, is what she tells her sister. Because all of this is her. This is really on Michelle. Everything is in her head, but she's not trying to get anything out of Alan. I mean, out of David. She's not trying to get to know him. She's not trying to dig deeper. And when he's trying to ask, she hates him so much that if he does ask anything, she's not giving any type of answer which would allow him to elaborate on his question or dig deeper.
Yeah. You know, that is so true, because it's just like Jen says here, Michelle's face looks disgusted as soon as David comes in the room, which is absolutely right, because as soon as he walks in and he starts talking, they start to have a fairly decent conversation. And when we say decent, it's just compared to the previous conversations they've had, right?
Right.
And then they start talking about relationships, and David reveals to Michelle finally what he revealed to Madison within the first 10 seconds of meeting her.
Right.
Right? Which is the tattoo of his ex that he was engaged to, his ex-fiance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you saw this immediately. Michelle's not impressed, and even, and she's not even interested. You can see it in her face, interested in this conversation. He tries to draw her into it, and she pushes away even more.
Yeah, but that's on David on that one.
Dumb. Stupid. Yeah.
That was dumb to get a tattoo on your chest to prove your love.
Yeah.
That's why he did it. And then he said that he has a plan to get it removed. It just hasn't acted on it yet. That's a common theme with David.
Yeah.
He has a lot of plans to get stuff done. He just doesn't do it.
Right.
And so all that is turning her off.
But it's also not an ideal date for her. She's not tatted up. She's not interested in going to see him get a tattoo. It felt very high schoolish, what he was saying.
It was very immature. You can go see me. I can prove my love to you by getting it removed. And I'll look at you in the eyes as they're doing it. Just stare at her. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's the way he shows his love. You know, it's really interesting, because she is frustrated, saying that they keep doing the same song and dance, but she keeps playing it. She hits repeat, repeat, repeat. And like Sonal says, I just want to point this out, because Sonal says, David said, sold a home he renovated and has been living in the garden level for 8 months. It's not as bad as we think. To which Terrell says,
It's not as bad as we think, but here's the thing. It's bad for Michelle. She doesn't want a dude that's grown living in whatever part of his parents' house. She's not attracted to that. It turns her off by that. She looks at that as a dude with no ambition that's living at mommy and daddy's house. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to. It might not be that bad for you, but it doesn't work. I wouldn't date a woman. I'm just turned 50.
Yeah.
If I met a woman that, I live with my parents and they're not like sick or taking care of them, just live in the extra space. No.
Yeah. By the way, Alice the Great says, I don't understand why David thought Michelle, or any woman for that matter, would want to go on a date where guys are removing a tattoo of their ex from their body.
Some I don't know about that like neither. It. I thought
Some
that was.
Some people like it.
Not someone who doesn't already who already doesn't like you.
Okay. Oh, no. I don't have so good. Now you're getting into too many facts. Now, here's the thing. This is where this conversation gets really interesting, because Michelle says David is living in fantasy land, right? And then David asks her a simple question, because she says, I'm getting vague answers. I'm, you know, she says, you've asked vague questions. He says, look, okay, how's your relationship with your parents? Because those are the things I'd want to know. And she's like, well, why do you want to know that?
Because I want to get to know my wife. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Get to know?
Isn't that what everybody asks? Don't you want to know somebody you're dealing with seriously? Let's not even get to marriage. After you get past the third day, you're like, me and you together. That's it. Everybody else is shutting off the apps. Don't you want to know about wouldn't you ask that first, second date? Third date, maybe? Somewhere in there?
I don't really ask about the parents the first week. I wait a bit.
It's because you don't want them to ask about yours. I kid. Well, here's the interesting thing. When David asks, what do you want me to know? Michelle says nothing.
Nothing.
Literally.
Not a damn thing. I don't want you to know anything about me.
Not a goddamn thing. Oh. She says she's not having a good time, right? But she also fails to take accountability for her part. Even though she said it to her sister, she refuses to say it to David.
Right.
She never tells him, okay, look, she told him initially, I don't find it attractive that you live with your parents. But then she never said, I can't get over it.
Right.
She's not saying that.
She's not. She's making David feel like he's the problem when he's not.
Yeah.
This is all her. And she has to be able to own that and grow up and be an adult about it. And I applaud David for continuing to try to have the conversation with her, or just try to engage. Yeah. It's like, hey, I get it. Pissed you off. You want to go for a walk? You want to get something to eat? She won't do any of that. I'm like, that's what he should do. I don't think he should just leave her alone.
Yeah. It's the craziest thing, because she's mad that he's checking on her. How? Why? And like Mimi says, I hate when Michelle's face appears on my TV screen, because I know there's misery to follow. Ugh. So true. Because how are you? But you know, again, this goes back to exactly what we talked about. We've talked about it so many times. Just in the workplace, the thin line between flirting and harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he didn't check on her, she'd be upset regardless. She's like, but he didn't even check on me. He checks on her. Oh my God, he keeps checking up on me. He won't give me any space. If she liked him, she would love it.
Right.
She doesn't, and therefore she hates it. She hates that this man is breathing. Plain and simple.
Yeah. She doesn't like him at all. No. And it's on her, the way that she's handling all this. And I think David is trying his best to engage with her, but there's nothing he can do that's going to change her perception of him.
Well, speaking of not being able to change perception, Madison and Alan. These two. Now, here's the interesting thing, because Madison walks in and goes, hey, you'll never guess who I met. My next husband. No. She says she met David and they worked out.
But did you hear how Alan asked? Because Alan asked her, was anyone down there working out with you?
Mm.
I think Alan saw that they were down there and was probably testing her to see if she was going to tell him. Because I just thought that was odd that you would ask that. Was anyone down there working out with you?
Yeah.
Why did he ask that question?
Because he's also probably picked up on the fact that Madison looked and said, who is that caveman over there? He's probably picked up on it. Think about Alan. Alan is very, he may be a little reserved, but that doesn't mean he's not observant, right?
Yeah. So he's a smart dude, but I just thought that was interesting that he asked that question.
Hmm. Interesting, because you asked this question, and then so did Alan, because when Madison tells Alan that she told David that he should be more assertive with Michelle, the first thing Alan says is that, what should I do?
Yeah.
I just told you, sir. Be more assertive.
100%. Because, you know, she's telling David to stop walking on eggshells, and really she wants to be for no.
Oh.
She told David the same thing and to be harder on Michelle and stop walking on eggshells. But she really means that to Alan.
True.
And then Alan, he just lacks the confidence. Mm-hmm. And I think that if he just had more confidence about himself, I think Madison would like him. It's not about his looks. It's just he lacks a lot of confidence. And that's where the whole pushover conversation came in. And I'm like, yeah, she didn't call you a pushover, but she called you a pushover.
She did. She she definitely called him a pushover. Like, you got to think, just sometimes think of yourself and not be a pushover, right? Even though Jen says she enjoys Alan's confidence, Madison obviously doesn't. And you don't see it either.
Don't see it either. Because he's so intimidated by her because of her looks.
Mm-hmm.
In his mind, how could I be lucky enough to get a woman that looks good like this? Thus, he's being all weird about it.
I saw her in the gym. Never mind. So CJ said, Madison knows her looks are AI generated. Alan is cool with how he looks naturally. Great. I like the way you put that. That was actually pretty cool. But yes, it's not like she's got this natural beauty. She doesn't. It's manufactured. It comes from the Mattel factory. The only thing she didn't do was give her the Bugs Life booty with it.
Well, still, he's not used to pulling at that level, apparently.
Mm.
And so for him, he has zero confidence in himself. And just because he wears broccoli draws and all that stuff, that's not confidence. That's just being quirky.
Yeah, I mean, you know. So next up, we get to see the guys and the girls. They're getting for a get-together, right? Like,
yeah.
And, you know, the women working out, doing pelvic thrusts by Carla. And the guys are doing two-ounce curls, a.k.a. shots. Different kind of workouts, but it kind of works. David goes in and looks, hey, man, I need help. I need some advice. And Ike, his first bit of advice is, you know, go with no expectations. Not helpful at all, brother.
Nope.
Now give me some real advice. And then he finally does is ask her what she needs. It doesn't matter. Michelle ain't answering.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. And even Juan, I thought Juan's advice was better, although it was very immature. Part of it when he was like, look, girls like to laugh. They like to have fun. You got to keep that up. That's what keeps the relationship. And I'm like, they also want somebody that has their shit together.
Well, so here's the problem. They haven't had a fun conversation yet.
Exactly. Because everything's been super heavy.
So he's right.
Yes. But
it was great.
He's not right that that's all girls want is to have fun and laugh. No, they want more than that. But he's right in the sense that, hey, stop trying to have all these serious conversations.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
By the way, Melissa asks, who could do Pilates with Carla's annoying voice?
It's her gift. It's her energy. People
it's her
like
energy.
It. Yeah.
What'd you think of Michelle saying she feels like David talks at her when she's talking to the women?
And this is the part that we might not be seeing in the editing. I don't know. I have not seen that.
But I think that he's trying to talk with.
Yeah, I think when he tries to talk with her, she just shuts down, doesn't really say anything. Mm. So what am I supposed to do? I got to say something to you.
MM tries to tell her, hey, look, man, y'all are still learning each other. He doesn't know you. He doesn't know how to talk to you. No, the real problem is, and we just discussed this, she just doesn't like him, right?
Yeah. And I think the ladies were great at giving Michelle advice to say, hey, you're not wrong. You're not the bad guy, and neither is David. And give yourself some grace. Y'all got to figure out a way to talk with each other.
I like how Camille's advice, because she's like, hey, stop being a negative Nancy. Look at things glass half full. That's the way I like to look at it, because you know what? And that really put it into perspective, because I think Michelle's looking at it glass half empty. You fill that glass up, she's like, oh, my God, now it's going to flow over. You know, she's just terrible.
Now the floor is all wet. It's all your fault.
Now, Madison jumps in and goes, hey, don't worry, I'll take him off your hands. Because she admits that she's not attracted to Alan, and that's been a problem for them.
Yeah. But again, I don't think it's just his looks.
Mm.
I think if Alan had some more confidence about himself, and I wouldn't say take control or took charge, but not intimidated to touch her hand and hold her lower back and just kind of show that he's comfortable being around her, I think that would help. He's acting like this is the first beautiful person he's ever been around. True. And she can pick up on it.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but go
ahead. And she can pick up on it and tell.
Here's the thing. He's picking up on it because he even confirmed to the guys. I like the way they edited that. He confirmed that he's picking up on the fact that she's not attracted to him, right?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing that and some of you notice this. When Carla's talking about her and Juan's relationship, we find out that they're staying away from getting physical immediately, right?
Yeah.
Now, Carla's making it seem like it's her choice. But I remember night one, she's like, oh, no, you could sleep but naked next to me.
Yeah.
That's stuff I got to go through.
Yeah. She was, you know, I think it's Juan's choice. Yeah. That they're not doing anything. I think Carla would totally be down to give him her energy.
Yes.
She can wants to give him.
Bask in this energy.
All the energy she can. She wants to. I think Juan is trying to be the one to control it.
Were you surprised that MM said there have been no makeout sessions, just pecs?
No. I wasn't surprised about that at all. Mm-hmm. I think they've had some good conversations, and I think they seem to be in a better spot to me than the other couples.
Yeah.
Because I think they're having the right conversations. I mean, because Juan and Carla, you would think that they're closer. They have a physical chemistry, but I don't think there's a lot of substance there yet.
Right. Okay. There are a lot of people who agree. You know, Jasmine says, nope, not at all. Jen says, not surprised. Tehu says, not surprised. No. Not in the bike says EKG doesn't like MM. He says he does. We'll have to take him at his word for now.
Yeah. Because
that's what we always do. Nikki B says, Terrell, are you blind? I don't like that woman.
I didn't say that he liked her. What I said is they seem to have a better connection because they're talking about better things than the other couples. Now, you know, he likes her enough that she's the homie.
Yeah, which was interesting because he did bring that up, right? And let's just get to them real quick before we get to Michelle and David, because with Ike, he says that, you know, we're homies. And I'm like, and then he gets back with MM and tells her that he told him that. She's like, you call me the homie? And he's like, yeah, because me and my homies, we just be chilling. You know what I'm saying?
No, I he's wrong. You don't call your girl the homie. Mm-hmm. You don't do that at all. Because nobody wants to be called homie. I don't want to be called that. Never in my life has a woman been like, I can't wait to get you home and get you naked, homie.
Yeah. That sounded very 2024.
Yeah. Hey, homie, again. You want to take a shower with me? Let's have a romantic dinner, homie. Hey, homie, you coming to bed? No. I don't want somebody calling me homie, bro.
Okay.
Dude. None of that.
Devil's advocate here. Before he was completely canceled, right? There was a certain singer who had a song called Homie Love a Friend that women really loved.
Mm-hmm.
So was he wrong?
Yeah, because he was dating minors and holding captive.
I'm talking about him. I'm talking about Ike.
Yes. So, yeah, R. Kelly was wrong. Regardless of the lyrics, R. Kelly was wrong.
I'm talking about R. Kelly.
But, yes, Ike is wrong. You don't want to call your wife the homie. No, y'all aren't homies.
Oh, Sly says, I want a nightgown, you homie.
I want a nightgown, you homie. Yeah, let Nikki B do that. Come over here and let me night down, you homie. No.
Oh, by the way, Anitra says, I didn't like that song. Oh, my God. Y'all off the chain. All right, so.
Well, I think of Phone Check, homie. The Ice Cube song. Phone Check, homie. No. Yeah. You don't call your wife the homie.
No. Mm-mm. Not at all. And just like, that'll be just as bad as her calling you bro.
Yeah, bro.
Hey, bro, come get this.
Yeah. Go get in this bed, bro. Come get in this bed, bro.
Where the hell we at, Jen?
Take your clothes off, bro. Get in bed. No, that's just.
Where the hell we at? Michelle and David. So David admits to Michelle that he asked advice from the guys, and I really don't think that this helped his cause.
No, not at all. You know, he tried to take the guy's advice and ask about her expectations. Like, what was her expectations going to this? And she said that she's looking for someone to match her lifestyle, someone that is successful and that can teach her things. And all three of those things are things David won't be able to do for her.
Very true. And, you know, somebody to have a conversation with, she's not willing to match that. So therefore, this is not going to work. Because he straight up asked her that stuff.
Yeah.
She's not, first of all, she didn't want to really give him an answer. She's just dancing around it, right? Then she says that when she says she needs space, give her space because she feels smothered.
Mm.
And I can feel David's frustration here because he's like, wait a minute. But I gave you space. What are you talking about? But again, like we said, it's the fact that she doesn't like him.
Right. She doesn't like him at all. And so if she liked him, she wouldn't want him to ignore her when she's mad or bothered. She'd want him to check.
Right.
And all that type
of
stuff.
Like he's doing.
Exactly. And I think he's doing what a husband should do. I've not been married. I've never been married, but I would think a husband should be like, hey, babes, want to check in. You good?
Mm-hmm.
You want to get some meat? I'm going to do this. I think he's doing all the right things. I don't think he's just.
Hey, I'm going out to get some meat. You want something with your mad ass?
Yeah.
Or you going to starve to death? What you going to do?
Yeah. I brought you want you fries, some fries. Or you want mad fries? What do you want?
Give me them angry fries. That's what I thought.
I'd make her mad. I'd be like, hey, put your arms up. Okay, now you're big mad.
Oh, my God. You know, the interesting thing is she says, give her space. When I say that, just I want my space. Just give me my space. She's like, well, I'll be happy to play golf for 4 hours. She's like, oh, my God. There you go again talking at me. You keep interrupting me. I'm like, he was just, you know, that voice that you hear. And we do it sometimes, right? Like you'll say something, that commentary. This is right there on the edge. It's not there to stop you. And he wasn't trying to stop. He's just like, yeah, I'll be happy to play golf for 4 hours. And I felt him because that's so much more enjoyable than having a conversation with her.
Yeah. Well, it would be. But I'm thinking to myself, Michelle likes black men, right? That's what she said in the before the show started. What brother's going to put up with her?
Right.
Because I'm just like,
There are quite a few that would, and that would be their fault. That's why she feels she can act like this, because a couple of them have.
I guess.
Some of them have. Now, here's the thing. Happy Gardner says, David has been in a long-term relationship, so he knows what he's supposed to do. And he's doing all those things, right?
Right. He is.
Except he's still living in his mama house. So that's what's got, you know, you on the other side.
Boom.
Oh, my God. Now, David got upset. He walked off, rightfully so. I don't blame him at all. But then he came back. Because I thought he was gone. I'm like, yeah, there you go, brother. Go get your golf clubs. They got a nice golf course out there. But no, he came back. He went to get some water because he stopped by the bar. I know she was like, oh, my God, he's about to get a drink. But he came back. And he said, that's the angriest you'll ever see him. Which isn't very angry at all, right?
Right.
And then
but he was very respectful for it. I respected him for that.
So I'm glad you said that, okay? Because I thought so too. And as he's going on to explain, she does exactly what she got mad at him for. She interrupted him.
Well, it's different when she does it. It's Michelle.
It's Karen. Her name is now Karen.
But again, she can't stand him so much that it doesn't matter. If she liked him, she wouldn't think she was being interrupted or anything like that. She just hates this man.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that when they get back, that she should just end it. You know, or they need to have Pastor Cal or somebody do a Zoom and like talk to her.
They should have them on the honeymoon. That would be fun.
Right.
Nikki B says, David needed a shot of brown instead of water. And CJ says, I like David angry. I almost respected him. Globe Hopper says David didn't need to apologize. He took a timeout, which was exactly the right thing to do. Because you know what? The problem is sometimes people stay in that moment way too long. It's okay to walk away. Give me a second. Walk away. Okay. Right?
It is. Take a pause, but you got to come back. Mm. You just can't walk away and then like just, you know, wake up the next day like it's Groundhog Day and just think, okay, we're not even going to address what happened yesterday. We're going to have to talk about it.
By the way, Matt A. says, at least we didn't get the WWTs. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great point. Because she did look like, she looked like, did he just walk away from me? I can't believe he interrupted me. I wouldn't have been surprised at all. It would have been right on time. Oh, that night we see David chilling by the pool, giving Michelle her space, and then he says the perfect thing. I may even fall asleep out here because these mosquitoes are way more inviting than that cold.
Yeah.
They edited the rest of it out.
Yeah, yeah. I figured he was going to sleep outside, at least on the couch.
Oh, man. Look, next we see Carla and Juan, right? And they take a trip to the spa. And this is where Carla proves that what she told the women was all a lie. Try to make it seem like she's the one that wasn't, that was trying to keep things nice and slow. Because she was ready to jump Juan and kick them women out and, hey, I got this.
I give great massages. I'll give you one. And how do you like your massage? Face down. But I was like, what did she just say?
Hey, I hope they gave Uncle Luke some money for that.
I'm impressed that they know that because they're kind of young. I was like, y'all know Luke? Y'all know that song?
Hey, Ratchet knows no age. Let's be real. Ratchet knows no age limit, okay? I do like when they got in the hot tub and they had the conversation. I mean, because it was a fun conversation, but still getting to know each other. Like, which way for the toilet paper? We find out that Juan does it wrong.
Yeah, that Juan's a sociopath and does the toilet paper under. It's supposed to go over. I took that note. I was like, what in the world? Oh, under?
Who does it under?
Yeah.
If you do it under, it's by mistake.
You do it under, you're just wrong. It should be toilet paper goes over. Because I agree with Carla. Aesthetically, when you have the toilet paper just hanging, it just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
It should just be over.
Then dishes in the sink. Another combo to have. Like, hey, if I left dishes in the sink, what would you do? Wake your ass up. Hey, you forgot something. Now I can get my side of the bed back.
Well, I mean, somebody grew up with a black mom, if that's what you're doing, because... I've been woken up from a nice sleep to go clean that damn kitchen. Like I told you to. Get up.
By the way, just on this, Sly says under is wrong and says team under. I didn't know there were. I can't believe there are people who actually team under. That's who.
They're not a winning team.
Shelby says y'all are wrong. It totally goes under.
No.
Yeah, under you into the toilet. That's the only under who works. Only way supposed to work.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm like
Melissa is a real psychopath though, because she goes toilet paper always over. I change it at people's house.
I do that too. I'd be like, what is this? Flip this around, put it right back.
How dare you?
Yeah.
You come into my house and change my toilet paper, we fighting.
I'm just trying to help you be better.
I'll come in like, who changed my Nubian Mahogany says even the hotels do the toilet paper over. So yeah, exactly. It's that. By the way, I didn't understand this because Nadine Bark says Juan is a jerk and unready to marry. Why?
Why do you say that?
Yeah.
By the way, I think he's a very confident person and knows what he has to offer. And I think that he's probably in a good spot right now to get married. I just don't know if they matched him with the right person.
Then again, maybe it's because of what Globehopper says. Juan, Oprah, and I do it under. Oprah's not ready to be married either. I just want to point that out. Okay. Next, Madison and Alan, when they go They go paddleboarding, right? And Alan says he's having fun, but still not getting a romantic vibe. And we all go, yeah, we know.
Oh, it's his outfit. Mm-hmm. Again, that's a lot for some people. And that might not, that's obviously not Madison style. And then the green glasses. And then, oh my God, that long story about the green glasses. It's like, dude, you're turning her off every word that you keep adding to the story.
Not everybody is a storyteller.
No, not get to everybody. The point. He's you're circling the airport and land the plane.
Yeah.
Let's go. Get to the point of your story. And I think that's frustrating her because I can't take people that are bad storytellers.
Yeah.
I lose my patience. And I feel
I'm sure
why Madison is getting bothered by this.
Now, we get to the couple's boat ride. And on the way there, it's a couple of things here. First, Michelle got the alone time and space she needed. But of course, it's not enough for her. So she's like, I need more while we're on the boat with a bunch of other people. I don't need him to talk to me. Let's not really talk about anything, right? But then Carla, I know this had to get you because if this was your woman, you probably would have broken up on the bus.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey babe, can we talk for a second? Look at your phone. I just sent you a text. Look at your phone. Yeah. Carla was just off the chain with everything that she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was just very, I thought, just inappropriate for that group. And I get it. She's very organic and everything she does and everything with her is raw and natural. Okay.
Carla's face is hilarious. And then Juan, when they're like, Juan, what are you doing? Oh, I'm back here taking notes. Make sure you say no.
Like, because my thing is, I would be worried, like, what would, I'd be worried that Carla's going to say the wrong thing in front of the wrong group.
Mm-hmm.
So if Alan, or I mean, if Juan is taking out some investors or whatever, and Carla's there, what is she going to say?
Yeah.
To them. I'd just be worried about that. But all the stuff coming out of her mouth, I thought it was crazy. And the, you know, the penis is a magic wand that gets inserted into the temple and just all of that out of pocket.
Carla is so annoying and immature and fake and no discretion at all. Well, at least we'll go to that last part. No discretion at all. Shante says Carla sounds the Lulu on the bus. I mean, but there are also people who are saying, even though Jasmine's saying that Carla was so embarrassing, Janelle says Carla keeps it real.
Yeah, sometimes keeping it real goes wrong. Yeah, you just don't need to do that.
It does happen quite a bit.
Yeah.
Now, when Madison and Alan are talking, right? When they're sitting on the boat talking, did you notice their body language and the producers pointing that out? Now, at first I was like, is this just B-roll that they're using to fill these gaps in the conversation and all the jump shots? And they were like, no, they're purposely showing she's got her legs crossed the other way. Purposely showing that over and over again because there are times when her legs were crossed open to him. But they kept showing the other one.
Yeah. I see what he was trying to do. I still don't think she's feeling him because in that book I talk about on here, Super Flirt, mm-hmm. that talks about how men and women communicate and show interest. If she's has her body open to him, as you put it,
right.
She's interested.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that she's quite there yet, but I do applaud him for actually putting his hand on her back mm-hmm. and just doing that because that's the little things that can start, you know, something into the bigger things.
Here's the question. What's his reach? Because he was sitting about a mile away from her and he still had his hand on the other side of her back. That joker needs to be playing down in the paint.
No, but he was doing it right. He had the hand on the back, and then he had the little thumb, just kind of little.
Yeah.
Just my hand's just not sitting there, because that'd be weird. You just palm your hand on her back and just sit there. So you got to do that. I thought that was a good move for him to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into his story about the 12-foot, what was it that he saw?
The manta ray. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I was like 12 foot.
Yeah, that was look. She was disinterested. I was disinterested. I almost turned the TV off. So, Is he done yet? Okay, all right, good.
Is he still talking? He's still telling the story? Make it stop.
Sheesh. That was terrible. I mean, I like Alan.
I do too. I just wish he had more confidence in himself.
I wish he had better storytelling skills. Michelle wants to talk to production because everything is annoying her about David at this point. And at least she recognizes, again, first with her sister. First with the bridesmaids, then with her sister, and now with production, it's her, it's not David. And she's like, it's not fair to him. Well, jump off the boat, leave. I mean, seriously, do us all a favor, right? But production's like, hey, we need all these couples. You stay your ass right here.
Yeah. Did she really need the 15 pins on just one side of her
hair? That was holding her brain in.
It's like, I was like, that's a lot like for that. But because she didn't get into the water when everyone else, you know, went to go have some fun. That's her. She's not having fun. Mm-hmm. And maybe if she just kind of let go and just relax and had some fun, maybe that would open her up to get a chance to get to know David a little bit more than what you already know and don't like about him.
Shante says Michelle needs to ask for a flight home. Exactly. Like Dee says, go home, girl. Because I made that same note, too. Everybody's in the water. Everybody's having fun except Michelle. David's like, look, man, I'm just trying to keep my smile. That's it. You know? And that's it. And that's it. I like that. As he's having a conversation with the guys, he's not putting her down still.
Right.
He's still not putting her down. And he's just like, I just want to keep my smile. Because if I let this monster out. Oh, my God. It's so bad. Now, here's the last thing I noticed, too, with Camille and Thomas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, Camille did tell him just, hey, look, go for it, right? Take the lead. Don't be this. Don't be Alan. And then Thomas even admits to us that he's been getting in his own head and will stop looking for permission. Because, yes, if you have to, I've never understood, can I kiss you? I could understand it at the altar, but I've never understood that, right? I've never thought a woman would go, why, yes, and give you a passionate kiss in return. There's no point I've ever thought that.
I've never, like, once we've kissed once, I don't ask. I don't just, like, take it, you know, but well, see, I just think it's okay. Once you cross that bridge, it's okay. Now it's okay to do. And the more the, like, the little pecks and all those things, I think those are great to build some intimacy, you know, in the relationship, but he shouldn't have to ask for it. And she even says, hey, if he walked by and smacked me on the butt, I wouldn't be upset about that.
This is why that man feels the way he does, because she got people like, she likes to tweet saying the way Mika leaned over to kiss her was so cringe. I mean, it didn't look, but... Y'all gotta stop this. Y'all gotta stop this. Sly says, smack it up, flip it, rub it down, Tom. Sean Unfiltered has a great point. Consent, especially on TV. Yeah. But that's why I'm with that asking at the altar. You've just met this person. You can't have expectations at the altar.
Yeah.
Because they literally just met you. May I? Yes. Unless you're MM. She just said, clack, clack, come here. Get over here. Right? But it's a little different coming from her than if I could have done that, then it might have come off a little too, you know? So.
Yeah. I like how Mimi says, if a man asks if he can kiss me after we already have, I'm going to say no. Exactly. Why ask?
Yes.
You know, just kind of lean in. If she doesn't want to, she'll.
Yeah.
Pull a matrix and just get out the way.
Connie Pudelmom says women give a nonverbal cue if it's okay or not to kiss her. I will say, not everybody reads it because there are times y'all are sitting there and that man goes, I think this is it. He leans in, you'll be like, whoa! What the hell happened? It's not that kind of party, brother.
No. No.
That's an awkward moment for everybody, so I can understand.
Hey, I've missed the cue. I've missed it sometimes, too. I mean, it happens. We're all guilty of it.
Nubian Mahogany says, you got to know how to read the room. Let me explain something to you. That guys are not the best at reading cues sometimes, right? At the end of the day, and by cues, we don't mean omegas. it's just that there's times when hints. I always say, hey, don't ever give me a hint. Tell me straight up, because hints will fly right by, right? Don't hint that, oh, I want to go do this. Tell me straight up.
Yeah, I'd rather know, but once we've kissed, I don't think I have to. Hey, so having a really great time. Can I kiss you? Okay. Well,
yeah, you just can't do
dinner
that.
Was really good. Can I kiss you? No? Okay. All right, well, we're about to go meet the couples on the boat, but real quick, can I kiss you?
Hey, here's the thing about it. As much as y'all have ragged on this man, the good thing is at the end he talked to her that he just, it did look a little awkward where he reached in and kissed her, but again, she was there. She's like, I'm here, right? We've already kissed before. But it's like that whole, because I think they did it on the beach before too. He's like, yeah. Well, you know, my dream since I was a kid, I figured when I was a princess, I would want to kiss on the beach with the water behind.
That was weak. You should just did
that was
it.
Terrible. That was terrible.
I've always had this dream. And look where we are. A beach and it's raining. Weird. And she's like, oh, so you want me to kiss you? Is that what you? Okay. And it's like she kissed a 5-year-old. She's like, mwah. There. It wasn't romantic. It was just a pet. Just mwah, go on. That was just a corny thing.
Which is exactly what Terry G says. That was corny. It was. I was like, oh, that was terrible.
It's like, it was like Chris Rock said, excuse me, I was wondering, if you wouldn't mind, you gotta be direct.
Hey, High Five says, leave Thomas alone. Hey, I'm just saying, man.
Just saying, he needs to work on his game a bit. He's a good dude. I have no issue with him. But man, you just can't be like, wow, look, I've always had this dream of being on the beach, like right where we're standing. And like, you see how it's raining and like kissing someone. I've always wanted to do that. And then just look at them.
You ain't know anybody who would be willing to help me out?
Do you know anybody who might want to help a brother out? Do you have any homies that can help me with my dream?
Elston said, organize your closet, Thomas, not kissing. Exactly. Exactly. And Slye says, Tom needs more swag. But I mean, you know, look, not every... And swag is what it is. And some people have it, some people don't, you know?
Yeah.
But look, I actually have hope for this couple. To be fair.
I want them to make it. Yes. I want this couple to make it.
And as... I'm afraid his OCD will become a problem for her, even though they eat the same way. Right? I'm afraid that there's a part, the parts of him being 10 years older comes out, and then it becomes an issue for them later. And if he doesn't take the initiative that she wants him to, that can be an issue later. But I hope they make it. Thank you, Mimi. I hope they make it.
Yeah, I hope they do. I mean, I think they have potential. To make it compared to some of these other ones that because I'm doubtful on a lot of the other couples.
Well, we may be doubtful too, because Elson said Thomas was still frowning after the kiss.
That's, I feel bad for him, man, but I get it. This is the happiest day of my life. I'm so happy. That kiss was amazing. Best you make me feel so special. He can't help it. It's how he was born. I feel bad. I should make fun of him, but it's funny. I can't help it.
By the way, Kevin 1550 says Terrell is Captain Caveman after the first kiss.
I'm more like Pepe Le Pew after the first kiss.
That's worse, brother.
No, I'm just after the first kiss. This is I just keep going in. Mon chéri. Yeah. Get all romantic with it, and yeah.
I'm done. All right. Look, are we gonna be back on Wednesday?
100%. No. No.
Okay, so here's what you do. Thank you for hanging out with us, by the way. Do us a favor. Hit the like button. And if you are not subscribed, please subscribe and then hit the bell for notifications to find out when we go live, because obviously Wednesday's not going to be a day. So maybe Friday?
Yeah.
All right.
Totally down for Friday. Yeah.
We'll put a question mark there and just say, you know, hit the bell for notifications. You'll find out when we go live. We definitely appreciate you guys, whether you are a live crew, whether you are replay gang. We appreciate you. Please hit the bell for notifications. Before the year's up, we're going to open up this thing and do this membership because, you know, we're a family here, right? Let's open up the family, not even the memberships. Let's just call it family.
Let's let the homies in.
Yeah, the homies. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod. The RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.